Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. Joining us today in our studio on the south side of Alamosa is a trio of academics from Adams State University. I'm going to introduce them. Florencio Aranda III, he's Vice President for Community and Global Impact. He's joined by Candace Taylor and Greg Wilson. They're both with Nielsen Library at Adams State. Candace is the Outreach and Engagement Librarian. Greg works back of house, Electronic Resource Librarian. We're going to talk about an event Adams State has coming up. It's called Fatal Beauty, the Border, Nations, and People. Scheduled for Nielsen Library March 25th through April 12th. Looks like a pretty cool exhibit. Talk to us about Dr. Aranda.
Well, hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Adams State is excited and thrilled to do collective and collaborative work with our counterparts, with individuals that really are pushing the agenda forward for what we call people, place, perspective. And so Trustee Gomez came to me and said, hey, I have this wonderful display of art, beautiful art that looks at the border. I said, hey, let's work on this. Let's make it happen. We were trying to find different locations. And then before you knew it, we were paired up with the Nielsen Library and library with these two wonderful individuals who basically ran with it. For us, it's a beautiful tribute to the people, our borders, having those discussions that are pertinent and necessary. And we hope that through this week of displays, through our imagery, through the photos, through the movies and the discussions that we will have, that we can really see the realities that exist as individuals migrate to and from the lands, as we call it. And so I'm just thrilled for the opportunity to showcase this, to also bring in conversations and people that this work is near and dear to them. And so we're excited for this collective work.
A provocative title, Fatal Beauty, the Border, Nations, and the People. Before we go there and talk about the events, I want to just, I think I'm right about this, Dr. Aranda. You're 3 years or so into your time here in Alamosa in the Valley, 3-4 years. You're the Vice President for Community and Global Impact. Before we go further, explain your role on campus, Vice President for Community and Global Impact, and how naturally that leads to something like this, an exhibit around Fatal Beauty.
Thank you for your question. It does feel like 3 or 4 years of working here. However, I've only been here a year and a half.
Whoa. So your impact is already, see, I'm already ahead of the game. You're a year and a half only in.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. I hope others also feel that same sentiment. The work that we do in the Office of Community and Global Impact, we recently went through a strategic shift to better align with the university strategic plan. And so the work that we're doing through this office focuses on what I call the 6 P's: people, place, perspective, policy, programming, and practice. And the work that we're doing for people, place, perspective is to, one, showcase the individuals that make Adams State their home, that lead there, that study there, that work there. Place, this beautiful San Luis Valley region, the work that is happening here, the generations of history and progress that has been made here, we want to showcase it. And then a beautiful thing about being an institution of higher learning is that we have many perspectives here on campus. And so we want to showcase the array of perspectives that exist. And so when Placido and I were chatting, we were thinking of doing something for Cesar Chavez Day, and then it became this bigger, more beautiful thing with the brilliant minds of Greg and Candace and Placido and one of our community members, Rogelio. So that's kind of where we landed, talking about the borders, the nations, people, because for us it was about showcasing the individuals that are truly impacted. And that leads to the second portion of my focuses on providing the opportunity and access for students for life beyond Adams State and how they'll be part of that global society and that impact that they'll make. And I believe in my heart, I wholeheartedly believe this, that Adams State does prepare people for that global world. And so if we can do it by bringing in different types of displays, artwork, speakers here on campus to provide that perspective to better equip our students for that life after Adams, then that's how we do it through this type of work.
He's referencing Adams State Trustee Placido Gomez. He's the one that helped bring together the parties here between the Community and Global Impact Office that you're running and then the connection back to Nielsen Library where all of this is going to get staged, right? Talk to us about that, Candace, on Nielsen Library's involvement and what this program looks like starting on March 25th.
Absolutely. As a library, we're constantly looking for ways to engage with our community and to honestly make bigger circles around us with the people that we interact with. It's a place of learning more about information, whether that be about ourselves or about the world around us. And so we were thrilled with the opportunity to be able to be involved in this.
And Greg, you talk about being back of the house, electronic resource librarian. Explain that job and then explain how you plug into or how you have supported through your work the Fatal Beauty exhibit coming through.
So my role is everything electronic. So when you use a library system, there are databases, there's the catalog. All of that is my domain, which I have to make sure everything works, make sure everything's discoverable, findable, works correctly, troubleshoot problems, help with research. I'm also the archivist. I'm the liaison to the history department, and Dr. David Lee is giving a talk for after the first movie, La Jaula de Oro. And my role in this was kind of facilitating everything, being the spackle, if you will.
Gotcha.
Of, hey, something needs to happen.
Something needs to happen. Greg Wilson can make it happen for us.
Or know somebody who can.
That's always key. Know somebody who can if you can't do it, right? Talk to us about the exhibit itself, Fatal Beauty, the Border Nations and People. How did it get that title? Why is that title? And then the focus, because we talk about the border, and as we know, the border stretches Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, California. You're going to focus this exhibit in Arizona. Talk about that. And if I'm wrong about that, correct me.
Yeah, so the title was actually suggested by Placido, which was a lovely title that went with it, because as we were discussing this exhibit and what it would look like, we were talking a little bit about how a lot of times we look at borders on maps and we see them as very clean lines, right? But it's far more nuanced than that, right? We want to talk about how policy and topography collide in a lot of ways, where the border is such a big political talking point all the time, but it is a physical place where geography is often used as a tool of policy. And so looking at how the desert, when we push migration into very rugged, dangerous corridors, this land becomes part of that enforcement as well, right? And we know that these topics can feel exhausting or polarizing, and it's very easy to feel disconnected from it when it's there over there, we're over here, there's this physical distance for it. But what we wanted to talk about is to actually look at the data, to examine the different maps and to see where water is being dropped off to be provided for migrants, to be able to understand kind of the terrain itself and how something so beautiful can be so dangerous in a lot of ways, and then connect those trends to ideas of global migration and the people who we interact with here in the Valley and what it means to be a good neighbor in a world that's increasingly globalized in a lot of ways.
And one of the things I think I had asked early on as you were coming in is the section of the border that this particular exhibit is really talking about, Fatal Beauty, the section of that border wall. Talk about that, because it's really some photographs, right, that were taken that is helping put some emphasis on this. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes, so Trustee Gomez, during his time at La Verne College of Law, in 2017, they displayed this project. And so when he became a trustee, he said, Florencio, I have some beautiful art that can really be a talking point and that can connect with individuals from the San Luis Valley, from Adams State, and just seeing everything that is happening globally, the impacts that are taking place. And so for him, it was called Fatal Beauty because it really shows the reality of what the border is, as Candace said. And truth behind that is that there is deaths, there are killings, there are hardships that occur as people are migrating across the lands. And so part of this exhibit is to show humanity and individuals that provide water, that provide food, that provide different type of support as people are migrating back and forth. And so I think that's why we called it Fatal Beauty, because it shows truth, but also the beauty behind the humanity that still exists, despite it being a difficult terrain, a difficult topic, and just a difficult hardship that migrants face.
Part of the exhibit that you have also looks at what you reference about the Missing Migrant Project and looking at those that have been lost in the border and Americans, volunteers who help provide water, help provide food, help provide shelter, and help provide that crossing, right, as we know happens. I wonder everything, I mean, you have a week here. You have 2 weeks, March 25th through April 12th. You have a couple of films that you're going to show part of this. It's a big series here. How did it grow to be going from a photo exhibit, a photo display that Trustee Gomez had brought forward into this package of events? How did that evolve into this?
Well, I think Trustee Gomez is a brilliant mind, a man who has vision, and through the work that he's doing with our Board of Trustees and the work that I'm fortunate to get to do with him, it was going to be a photo exhibit. And then I was planning an event called Global Community Stories for Cesar Chavez Day. Then we had these brilliant minds come into the mix and it became what it is now. And I think that that is really a display of the work that happens at Adams State, that we all come together to put forth our best foot and to really showcase the work that is happening. I think, so for me, Ofelia Rivas, she is part of a tribal nation that has, whose lands situate on both the Mexican and the U.S. border. And so we wanted to bring in that perspective because her people, as well as her, provide this type of support to our migrants as well, the water, the food. And so hearing directly that lived experience, that firsthand experience was important. La Jaula de Oro is a movie that Placido suggested as well. And as he was describing it, individuals migrating from South and Central America on La Bestia or the Beast, that was important. And then I turned to Candace and I said, oh my gosh, I have this wonderful movie called Desierto, which really is the not as pretty part of what occurs in migration. So it is I don't believe that it is based on true events, although we can speculate that there are true events happening as such. But basically, it's a group of individuals migrating from Mexico to the U.S. They're met with a lot of resistance, a lot of violence on the border, to the point where many lose their lives. And I won't give away the end, but it shows the truth that exists as people are making that difficult journey over here.
Before we go on, because again, you do have a series of events spread over a couple of weeks here, I'm going to ask Greg or Candace to really kind of walk us through each event. Just give us the dates, what's happening, so we can kind of lay that down as we keep talking about the series coming up, Fatal Beauty, the Border Nations and People at Adams State, March 25th through April 12th. I'm going to ask you just kind of give us a little bit of the highlights of what you're going to be presenting.
So the opening day of the exhibit, we are also showing the film La Jaula de Oro, and one of our history professors, Dr. David Lee, is giving a talk about immigration after the film. So that's going to be very interesting, and I'm looking forward to it. The display will be up. We are showing each movie twice to account for people's scheduling conflicts and just more distribution. So we have La Jaula de Oro on the 25th, Desierto on the 2nd, La Jaula de Oro on April 6th, and Desierto on the 8th. And all movies are 6 to 8 p.m. in the library.
And you do have one March 31st at McDaniel Hall, Global Community Stories with Ofelia Rivas. You want to talk about that? That's happening McDaniel Hall, room 101 on the 31st.
Yes, sir. So Ofelia Rivas is part of that tribal nation, as I mentioned earlier. Will share her lived experience, not only being of in different indigeneity, but also of how she supports the migration movements and people who are going back and forth. Global Community Stories is a series that we do through the Office of Community and Global Impact to show the different perspectives and bringing different perspective to Adams State. We have different initiatives where our own people, Adams State people, share their lived experience and their perspective, but this one is slightly different in that we bring an external source to share their lived experience to provide that access and opportunity for our students, faculty, and staff to hear from someone not Adams State related. So she'll share her story, her lived experience, her first accounts of being indigenous, but also how she supports this type of work and how she continues to advocate for her nations, but also people migrating through her nations.
You know, Candace and Greg, I don't know quite how long each of you have been at Adams State on the campus there. We know Dr. Aranda has been there a year and a half. I was wrong earlier, a year and a half. But let me ask you, and you can give us some context. What's your expectation? What's your hope when you put the exhibit forward, starting on the 25th of March? What's your expectation of the campus? What are you seeing from the student body that would tell you this would be an exhibit that they would come and see, that they would want to consume and understand? What gives you that belief, I guess, when you think of Adams State now?
Yeah, as a part of my role, I have the opportunity to work with a lot of the incoming freshmen with FYS and do a lot of the information literacy instruction on campus around kind of finding information, learning truth, and understanding the sources that we're looking at. And what I've noticed of students is that they are asking really good questions, and they have concerns about the world around them, how things work, and they want to know more and understand and be a part of these conversations. And so I think going into this project, we always want to provide opportunities for people to expand their ways of thinking, their worldviews, and different things. And so I guess my hope with this project is that it will give students and any community member who comes the opportunity to kind of reflect on these things and how it impacts them in their daily lives, that they'll take away from it this idea of propinquity or a coming together or a closeness of these issues that can seem really far away from us at times, but that are a part of life and they're a part of people's lived experiences. And the opportunity to understand that and hear that from different sources, like Ophelia from the Tohono O'odham Nation, as well as these images and all the different methods that we can to kind of engage with our community, to understand push and pull factors like violence and hope and the climate around us and how these things that seem very passive in our lives sometimes are far more nuanced than we think. I think will give students and community members this opportunity to think more broadly about the world around them.
And I think you're right, Candace, about today's college student. I have a daughter that's attending the University of Oregon. I'm very familiar, I guess, with college-age students these days because of my own children and the age that they are. And I agree with you that today's college students asking a lot of questions. They are trying to understand the world events around them. They're trying to understand a very complex world that they are inheriting, including climate change and what that's doing. It is a very, I find it a very thoughtful student body this day that you see on campuses of higher education. And that's just my own reflection of my daughter, her friends, her peers that I know and see. And they're really challenging a lot of thinking. And they want to engage and they seem to want to help make a difference. But first they want to understand. And they are asking a lot of questions these days. And I don't know, Greg, if you get that in some of the queries you get at Nielsen Library or how you support the student body there.
I get a lot of interesting questions because typically I get the very, very nuanced questions where somebody is coming in trying to track down admission records of her great-grandfather to the university. And it's in the 1920s. As you know, paperwork from the 1920s isn't always reliable. I'm working with a community member on a book project about Los Canciones del Valle and everything that entails. She's editing it, and it's going to be published fairly soon, I think. And one of the things that struck me about this project was both the movies we are showing are in Spanish. They have subtitles. But we have a sizable native language Spanish population among our student body, and many of them are migrants as well. So it's a chance for people who are not migrants to understand what that experience was.
Yeah, I think you're right about all of that. Hey, we're talking to Adams State's Dr. Florencia Aranda. We're with Nielsen Library's Candace Taylor and Greg Wilson. This is the Valley Pod. We'll be right back.
Looking for the freshest food in the Valley? Introducing the new SLV Local Foods Directory, where you can meet your neighbors and eat better. From colorful potatoes and crisp greens to farm-fresh eggs, dairy, and meat, find exactly who grows your food right here in the Valley. Support local, eat fresh, and strengthen our community. Are you a local farmer or producer? Add your information. Visit lmsacitizen.com today and discover the freshest food from the heart of the Valley.
Hey, we're back. This is the Valley Pod. We're talking about Fatal Beauty. It's an exhibit coming up at Adams State University at Nielsen Library. We're going to return to that conversation, but before we do, I want to hit you with a couple of quick headlines from alamosacitizen.com. Looks like the Colorado Division of Water Resources is going to commit to a March 16th start to the water year in the Upper Rio Grande. Irrigation usually begins April 1. The warm winter has producers ready to plant. Going to turn the water on March 16th, it looks like. Larry Brown, the area director for SLV Area Extension Program, tells us that the 4-H endowment has reached $1.55 million with the latest contributions coming out of the Southern Rocky Mountain Ag Conference. CXU Extension has a goal to raise $2.5 million to permanently fund a second 4-H specialist position for the CXU Extension program. Hey, we're talking to Adams State's Dr. Florencia Aranda. We're talking to Candace Taylor, Greg Wilson there with Nielsen Library. We're talking about Fatal Beauty. I lived on the border. I always say that. You know, we hear a lot about immigration. Migrants, we hear a lot about, it's a very tensioned issue, right? And I always say, everyone in the country, in America, should spend a month, yes, at a minimum, a month, 30 days, living on the border, crossing back and forth, seeing the bridges, seeing the life that goes back and forth, because it's really a dual life. When you live on the border, you live in both countries, Americans, Mexicans. They go back and forth. It's a daily ritual. It's how commerce moves, right? We know I lived on El Paso. Professors from the University of Texas at El Paso lived in Juarez because it was cheaper. Come across the border, go to work. That's life on the border, right? And I would always encourage people, spend some time there instead of just talking about it. Go down, live there. Mm-hmm. Spend 30 days there. Then come and figure it out. I would always encourage that. Give us your experience, Dr. Aranda.
Yes, so you're pulling at my heartstrings. I'm originally from a small border town called Presidio, Texas. It's situated, the sister city is Ojinaga, Chihuahua, Mexico. I grew up there, bicultural, bilateral, bilingual. It's a beautiful place because everyone is familia, and I wholeheartedly mean that. I tell people until I was 27, I didn't have any type of health care because that is how accessible medical services are. I would just cross the border in Mexico. Our food supply was Mexico food, you know, all of these things. The education, the system, the schooling that I received was in the U.S. And so it was part of our everyday life to cross the border. We never saw a difference, and it wasn't until I left the border that I was like, wow, I live in this beautiful place that straddles two nations, and I'm part of both nations. And I remember being in college when I would tell people, where are you from? And I'm like, the U.S. and Mexico. And they're like, no, you're not.
Yeah, you really are a binational citizen when you live on the...
And I'm like, no, I'm actually binational, really. And they're like, so what side are you from? And I'm like, both. And it wasn't until I'd show them on a physical map, and they're like, oh my gosh, you're on the border. And I'm like... That's what I was saying. And so one of the beautiful things about Presidio Ojinaga that I want to bring it back to the San Luis Valley is that the Rio Grande also crosses and it is the divider, right? The topography divider of our nations.
Right.
Y mi abuelita, she would always say, you'll find your way back to the river. And so when I applied to come to Adams State, and that I saw that the Rio Grande was also here, I'm like, this is my grandma saying, you're home, you're back home. And for her, it meant, don't forget your roots, don't forget your biculturalism. But I think it was also more symbolic for me of coming to a place like Adams State where beautiful work can happen with the amazing people that make up the SLV. And I've felt at home for the last year and a half because of how similar the people, the language, the water, the necessity to sustain and survive and thrive. It was part of my life when I lived in Presidio, but it's also part of the work that we get to do here too.
Yeah, let me ask you, what pieces of fatal beauty will help people understand some of what you just articulated? What are the pieces in this exhibit that Adams State is presenting, that Nielsen Library is presenting, that your Office of the Community and Global Impact is presenting? What is it in this that will help people see what you just said?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. One shows the beauty that exists with the people helping each other, not seeing a physical barrier, but just seeing humanity supporting one another as these individuals migrate to try and make a better life. You also see the reality that exists, which is the politicization of this type of work, the criminalization that is created behind border walls and border barriers. And I think that's a big one. For when I lived back home, you'd always say, oh, you're going to cross the bridge, right? And that meant you could be checked, you could be questioned, you could be searched. And that was always something that was scary to me, although I was a U.S. citizen and now a Mexican citizen as well. I have dual citizenship. But it was always scary because I never knew which family member or which colleague or friend or classmate was living in that fear because of this, of the criminalization that's created through border crossing.
When you think of the exhibit coming up, Candace and Greg, what are the pieces you're looking forward to, or what is the part of this that you really want to express?
Yeah, I think about a lot, actually, Ofelia Rivas and the Tohono O'odham Nation and kind of this idea of indigeneity straddling the border, and these peoples that have been there since time immemorial. I had the opportunity to do my master's degree in British Columbia on the unceded traditional territory of the Coast Salish peoples.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with them and a lot of different people on kind of what borders do for these communities, these First Nations peoples that have existed for a long time outside of that. And suddenly you're imposing militarization and this sharp line in the sand that you can't cross, even though All of your peoples, all of your communities are crossing that constantly. And I think of Ophelia and her story that she relates in the documentary that we talked about a little bit earlier of kind of how this militarization has impacted them. And I would invite people to think about how if they walked outside in the morning and there was military trucks outside constantly and there were watchtowers and the road that you always took to your grandmother's house, you had to cross a border and you had to prove your identity time and time and time again.
Yeah, it is an interesting, my own experience. I showed up in El Paso, Texas in 2008, right at the height of the cartel war that was happening in Ciudad Juarez. And there was militarization throughout the border at that point in 08. I had a businessman from Juarez showed up. I was the editor of the El Paso Times at the time. Had a businessman say, Mr. Lopez, I will give you a tour of Juarez. He picked me up with his armed guard in his armed car and took me across the border into Juarez and gave me the lay of the land at that time. And it was important that I cross with him because at the time you weren't crossing otherwise. It was a very dangerous, interesting period of time when I showed up on the border. And then through the period of years, the war finally ended, but life never ever stopped. Even in the cartel violence, it never stopped of people crossing back and forth. Because that's the border. That's how you live. You have no choice. It's a binational community. Really fascinating. Greg, give us some insights of what you're looking forward to as this exhibit starts on March 25th, Fatal Beauty.
I'm interested in the juxtaposition between some of the photographs. You'll see the border wall in all of its industrial glory, and then you will see wide open expanses of land that are beautiful and very stark. And you will, I at least looked at it and wondered, okay, how would I survive in that? I don't know any of the desert survival tricks. I don't know how to find water. I don't know how to do anything other than walk in a direction governed by the sun. And on the handout we made for, or Candace made, for the exhibit, we have a QR code to a heat map of people migrating, usually north, who have expired in the desert. And there are some pictures of local actors who would leave water under shrubs and trees and try to support the migrants. Because if you don't, you need water to live.
When the exhibit is happening at Adams State, how will someone be able to see or to read what you just said about that heat map, about the death maps? How is that going to be part of the interactive piece, if you will, of the exhibit?
We will have it as a poster at the beginning of the exhibit as kind of a primer of we're talking about the border. The border is not an abstract thing. The border, I mean, is crossed daily by hundreds, thousands, maybe even millions of people. But when you're in a more rural area and not in a city setting, there's not much difference unless there's a wall between one side and the other.
It's going to be an interesting exhibit. I want to go through it one more time before we let you go. We really appreciate you coming in and sharing what Adams State is doing here March 25th through April 12th with the exhibit Fatal Beauty, the Border Nations and the People. Before we let you go, I want you to just kind of go through the lineup, go through the events so we have that, and then we'll help push that through AlamosaCitizen.com.
Yeah, so the exhibit will begin on March 25th. That evening, we'll be showing one of our films, La Jaula de Oro, with an accompanying talk by Dr. David Lee on immigration. That will be followed on March 31st by Ophelia Rivas with the Global Community Stories at 6 p.m. in McDaniel 101. We'll subsequently have more movie showings with Desierto playing on April 2nd, La Jaula de Oro again on April 6th, and Desierto again on the 8th, where all the movie showings will be from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Nelson Library.
Sounds good. Dr. Aranda, anything you want to leave us with?
So the thing I want to leave our listeners with is come see truth, come see community, come see reality, come be part of the impact that we want to leave this world with. Understand different perspectives. Understand that not everyone will see like you, feel like you, be like you, love like you. But having that humanity, compassion, and that empathy to say, I hear you, I see you. I now at least understand what you may be remotely going through. And I think that's the beauty of why we wanted to call it the Border Nations and People, because it is such a heartfelt topic. It impacts lives. People aspire making this journey. People are hopeful making the journey. People are striving for a better life, opportunity, access. And when we wanted to showcase this type of work, it folds very beautifully into the work that Adams State does. We are an institution that provides access and opportunity and just a place for learning and thriving. And I think this exhibit, the work that we will do through this exhibit, will really show what we are trying to convey. And it's access, opportunity, lived experience, perspective, and just understanding that we need each other in this world, that we need more compassion and understanding. And what better way to reach that goal than by celebrating, recognizing, highlighting, and bringing to the forefront these experiences that are truly happening and impacting lives every day.
Pretty relevant exhibit for the time that we're in right now, and an interesting exhibit connected to and shows the work of the Community and Global Impact Office at Adams State that you run. Also have to acknowledge Trustee Placido Gomez for bringing this forward and helping create it, right? Interesting guy, Placido Gomez. We won't let you comment about that, Candace. We're going to wrap it up here. We really appreciate you coming in and talking to us about it. It's Fatal Beauty, the Border Nations and People. It's at Nielsen Library. Starts March 25th, runs through April 12th. The Valley Pod is produced by Owen Woods, part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. We'll see you around the Valley.
Hi, I'm Marty Jones, host of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. Join us every other Wednesday as we talk to outdoor enthusiasts, wildlife experts, recreationists, lovers of the outdoors, and people who spend their days and their lives outside. On the Outdoor Citizen, we talk all things outside and outdoors, provide you with the latest data and measurements for water and weather, give you upcoming outdoor events, and keep you up to date on the latest news. The Outdoor Citizen is brought to you by the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, enjoy the out of doors.